the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. It's that time of the week to discuss all things Football League. I'm Sam Bridges, no Tom Carnduff this week. He's off graduating. He's a master in journalism, apparently, but we've got an old master with us tonight of the newsrooms with Mark Wilson, our Leeds United commentator, is going to join me for the next hour as we discuss the Whites, the game against Middlesbrough on Sunday, a huge game in the season of Leeds United and potentially in the future of Thomas Christiansen as well. We'll discuss all of our Yorkshire clubs, discuss proper football returning this weekend as the Championship is back. We'll talk Bradford City, Rotherham and Doncaster as well. We'll have the 30-second coil, Crawley Town Watch, none of that stops, and a refreshed good days, bad days as well. Loads of other things to talk about, including managers. Paul Heckingbottom, is he going to be the new Sunderland boss? We'll discuss it all and more on the FL 72. I'm delighted to say good evening to that old master, Mark Wilson.
Hey, old right, master, who writes this stuff?
Good evening.
This is my favourite show of the week, actually.
I do
like listening, especially when I'm at a ground. I have a listen before, and the old Crawley Town Watch has actually started to take over my life now. I spend more time looking for Crawley results, even, than anyone else's. Mm.
Yeah, I'm delighted you're doing it because you told me some fascinating Crawley facts.
No, I'm all
before.
Over it.
And it's not as bad as it seems because Tom's very downbeat, obviously, on Harry Kewell, but actually you've been doing some proper research.
Well, defensively, they're fantastic. The problem is they just don't score any goals, do they? You know, that's the problem. They are the lowest scorers in League Two, but they've got the fourth best defence. So what do you want, good defence or, I don't know, what do you want?
What do you want? What do you want, people? But yeah, we'll save that, Mark, for later on. Crawley Town Watch to come later on. We've got the 30-second coil as well. Good days, bad days as well, which we're going to give a little bit of a twist this week. But we'll start, as ever, with Yorkshire News. We'll start with the Championship returning this weekend. And let's jump ahead to Sunday, because a huge game for Leeds United. Thomas Christiansen's side suffered three straight defeats before the international break. You're looking forward to going to Elland Road on Sunday, Mark?
Oh, I think it's tin hat time, isn't it, at Elland Road? It's going to be one of them. I asked a question last week on the Yorkshire Football Show. Are fans actually looking forward to this game, or is it one they're actually a bit apprehensive about? I think your true football fan wants to watch the team in action, whoever they're playing on, whatever form they're in, but I think this is going to be an awkward one. You know, this is going to be one that it could go either way. Leeds win, all is good, and it'll be a couple of hours abusing Gary Monk with a gleeful look on your face. If they get beat, it's going to be a tough one, isn't it? Because if they do lose, then people are going to be saying, well, Gary Monk made the right decision and walked away. And that's the problem.
Indeed, an interesting one. Obviously, a few weeks ago, a lot of Leeds fans were looking forward to it for different reasons. Middlesbrough were the team struggling down in the middle of the table, not really getting going. Now, all of a sudden, three wins before the international break, Borough are fifth in the Championship, things looking up for them, and all of a sudden, it's Thomas Christiansen, the manager, under pressure. Is this a make or break for him, do you feel, on Sunday?
I find it hard to see how he's going to come through. If they get beat on Sunday, I find it hard to know where they're going to go, because he set up the Brentford game as must-win. He labelled it must-win himself. They didn't win, and they didn't really look like winning either. That's the problem that he's got. I think if they lose, I think that'll be him done, sadly. And I say that sadly, I think he's a decent guy. I think he needs to be judged on his own players, and I think that's the problem he isn't being at the minute.
Recruitment obviously an issue. I think we've both talked about that in recent weeks. How many of the summer incomings do you feel are Championship ready, I suppose?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I see David Prutton in the Evening Post has started querying it as well. As there's people higher and bigger in football than you and I that are also starting to go, hang on, what's going on here? Saez is a clear one. He's the better quality. He's the one you think if Leeds had had him last season, then that would have been the difference between seventh and being in the playoffs. He's that good. But the problem is, I'm not sure that the others are you know, Lasoga, as good as he is in the box, he doesn't do the job of linking up the play as well as Chris Wood did. He doesn't score the goals that Chris Wood did. Pennington's come in at the heart of the defence. For me, he's not a... I know he's only a young man, he's got a lot to learn, but he's not a patch on Bartley. And the goalkeepers, well, do me a favour, you know what I mean? Neither of them are good enough to replace Rob Green. Alioski, for me, he looked great, but doesn't actually do a right lot. That's my opinion. So I think if you said we can take them all back and get his money back, the only one I'd keep would be Saez at the minute. Probably another one I've missed off, but that's the one I'd be thinking I'm keeping him.
Yeah, the strength in depth. I think particularly up front, obviously you mentioned Chris Wood there, but Leeds obviously didn't have much time to replace him. Obviously the Soga came in on loan. A dangerous signing, really, given his reputation and the money that he's on over in Germany. Obviously a talent, but things not working out for him where he's at the minute.
And, yeah.
You know, a German international loan at the Championship doesn't necessarily happen very often.
No, it doesn't. Well, what I'll say about Lasoga is if you get him the ball in the box, I'd back him to score. The problem is, and it's telling, you know, they were behind at Brentford and Christensen took Lasoga off and said afterwards he wasn't doing what I needed him to do for the team. And I think that's basically running around and making himself a nuisance. He didn't do it. And that's the problem. You give him the ball in the box, he's good. Elsewhere, I don't think he's mobile enough, to be honest. And he started off so well as well. The first game, he actually played really well, all-round game. We've not seen him hit that height again. I know he's had a lot on off the field. His partner's just had a baby and stuff like that. But Leeds need more from him. And the facts are, you look at all the other teams. Leeds have got Lasoga. The other teams have all got two or three decent strikers, and that at the minute is a problem.
Do you expect in January Leeds to spend a bit of cash? A couple of people already making the point on Facebook this evening where we are live. You can go and watch the show, get us your questions and comments. But Mitchell Emerson saying that Victor has to take the blame as well. You can't replace an £18 million striker with a loan. Should never let Green go as well, which is obviously something we'll get onto with the goalkeepers. But do you expect Leeds to maybe go out and get a striker in January?
The question is, right, and this is a serious, serious question. It's one that we can't answer, but it's the one that needs answering when you can really assess what Leeds have done. You say they didn't have a lot of time to replace Chris Wood. The club said categorically Chris Wood is not for sale at any price. And then a week later sold him for 15 million quid. They sold him. Now, did they have that decision lined up all the way through? Were they always going to sell him? Because they brought the Soga in to partner Chris Wood and then lo and behold, he's replacing Chris Wood. I look at that and I think they were always going to sell him. Hence why the recruitment hasn't been good enough. And that's the big problem. I think, you know, if they'd have held out to the last day of the window and Chris Wood's on his knees begging to go to Burnley and saying, well, I'll waive whatever or just let me go, and the club get 20 million for him, say, then you can understand that they'd do that. And I know Chris Wood wanted to move, and Thomas Christian said, I think, put it quite well, no one can blame Wood for leaving. He's getting more money, he's playing at a higher level, he's getting everything he wants out of the game. But Leads to it. He's not for sale at any price. Oh, I'll give you an extra three. All right, we'll drop him off tomorrow. I'm not having that. And I think that's the problem. And they haven't replaced it. And you need a goal scorer in this division. I think a goal scorer in this division can make an average team into a successful one. And that's it.
I do agree. In terms of Middlesbrough, you look at them and Gary Monk, I think what he did well when he came into Leeds United is that he knew the players that he wanted. And then probably for the first time, really, in the Chiellino era, it seemed like the manager was making the signings. The likes of Bartley, we'd worked with before, came in. Rob Green came in, sensible goalkeeping signing. And then he goes to Middlesbrough, and all of a sudden, he's making signings there. Again, experienced Championship players. And that's the difference for me between the two sets of recruitment. Under Gary Monk, where he seemed to have a bit more flexibility to bring his own men in than anybody else under Chiellino, and then Thomas Christiansen now is just being given these players from abroad.
Well, the writing was on the wall, wasn't it, for Gary Monk in January when they got Mo Barrow, didn't they, on the last day of the window? And I think they played Blackburn the game after, and Monk went, "This is not how we do." He was furious. He said, "This is not how we do business. This is not how I do business. We do it early. We don't do it on the last day." And he basically said it ain't good enough. And that was, I think that was his worry. And then when he sees Victor Orta coming in, he's going, I don't want to know what to do. I want to be able to sign my own players. You ask any manager, if you're going to get the sack, you want to get the sack by bringing in your own players and them not being good enough. And at least it's your fault. At the minute, Thomas Christensen's facing the sack because the players he's got aren't good enough. And that's not his fault because he hasn't signed any of them. And I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. You know, Victor Orta said in August, at the end of the August window, oh, we don't need to, we won't be doing any business, or we won't be doing any major business in January. Well, Mr. Orta, you need to get your checkbook ready, pal, because you need to sign some players, because that squad at the minute is not quite good enough. I'm not saying it's a million miles away, Sam, but it needs to improve. It needs to improve. You mentioned Middlesbrough. You know, Darren Randolph, they paid £4 or £5 million for him from West Ham. He's a Premier League goalie. He'll be playing for the Republic of Ireland tonight. He's a quality goalkeeper. Ben Gibson at centre-half, they probably could have got £20 million for him. Didn't sell him, kept him. I'm not a big Ayala fan. Cyrus Christie's done well at Derby. George French, solid. I'm just going through the team that beat Sunderland last time out. Leadbitter and Housen, tried and tested Championship players. Downing's got it at this level. Taverney, all right, is a young kid. He's coming in. Asamoah Longa stays fit. Scores one in two, generally, as a rule, if he stays fit. That's a good, solid Championship team. Our Leeds a good, solid Championship team. I'm not so sure they are.
Maybe not at the moment. They're 10th as we sit here. Obviously, they're going to play. Everyone else is going to play before them Friday night, Saturday games as well. There are a number of teams that could be ahead of Leeds come kick-off time on Sunday. Sheffield Wednesday level on points. Brentford and Norwich just a point behind. Preston as well, a couple of points adrift, as are QPR as well. So potentially, if all those results go against Leeds, obviously they all won't, but Leeds could be in the bottom half of the table come Sunday. That added pressure.
Yeah, well, of course it is. That certainly would add to the atmosphere, I think, or the worry around the ground. But you know, results could go Leeds' way, and it could be a win puts them back, you know, within a speck of the playoffs. The problem is, you look at the game. You know, you look at the games they've got coming up, and can you imagine that Leeds are going to get wins against Borough and Wolves? You know, the games are coming thick and fast. Can they get the wins? The one thing for Leeds, I'll say, I just had a moan about Lasoga. I actually think Lasoga's all right, but they are scoring goals. So they've always got a chance in games. The worry is defensively at the minute, they'll just look very, very weak. Concerned.
Pontus Janssen, obviously qualified for the World Cup. We're going to see him in Russia next year. That a bit of a boost for him? Do you think he could come back?
Just signs, flickering signs last couple of weeks before the break. Janssen starting to get back to his snarly, up and at him best. Stats made a great point early in the season on the coverage. Is last year, he'd do stupid tackles, he'd be doing silly things with a crowd, he'd get booked every week. This year, I think he got booked the other week, first time of the season. Have you not seen that crunching tackle, Pontus Janssen, that the fans want to see? They've got no one leading the team on the field, and they need Janssen to step up, and now is a perfect time for him. Yet, part of the squad didn't get on the field, did he, on the weekend against Italy, but still a part of that squad, and he now really has got something to play for because he'll desperately want to be part of that Sweden team in the World Cup.
He will. Philip's been in touch on Facebook. He says, what's very frustrating about Leeds is that there were half a dozen players who were available for transfer last summer who would have been perfect. Sam Winall, he names Tom Lawrence, Aidan McGeady as well. Go along with some of those names.
Said Winall. You know, everyone laughed, didn't they, when Steve Evans were trying to bid £750,000 for everyone laughed. You can't tell me Sam Winall won't play for Leeds more often than not, and you can't tell me he's not better than some of the strikers that they've got at the moment. You know, how much did Leeds play for Chubitsky? He's played twice in the Cup. He hasn't even been on the field in the Championship. He can't even get in the squad. How bad must he be that he can't even get in the squad? Ridiculous, it really is. You know, J. Roy Grott comes on off the bench now, Sam. The crowd groan. Nothing against the kid. They're playing him as a big number nine. That's not his game. And that's the problem that Leeds have got now. People are starting to lose faith in the fringe players, and it doesn't need that. They need to be roared on and encouraged when they come on, and you can sense a frustration building.
Hugo was another one from Preston as well. Leeds were linked with quite heavily.
But a lot of money for him. I think that's the problem. Yeah, I think they had a striker in demand. He's going to, you know, I think you're talking 8 million quid to bust him out of there. Ali's going to pay 8 million quid. Probably not. And then you go back to the fact you've accepted 15 million quid for a guy who's got 30 goals in the Championship. It's madness. Absolute madness.
We'll see where Leeds go. Some positive news for a former Leeds player, Lewis Cook, with his England call-off. That's a bit of a boost for
brilliant.
The academy.
Yeah, it's a boost for everyone, isn't it? You know, he'll always be regarded as a Leeds player, won't he, really? He made his name there, made his debut there. I remember his first game. I'm pretty sure, I mean, it's a shame Stats is not here to tell me. I'm sure he played his first game against Bolton. I was here covering Bolton. He was outstanding that day. You couldn't believe how young he was, and he is some player. And I think, you know, Southgate's had a lot of stick, I think. The other night, the friendly, played the kid. Great, that's what friendlies are for. I don't want to see all the old men playing that. Oh, yeah, another England friendly, another boring. Get the kids in, let's see what they can do. I think more people, you know, would watch England now if they went, right, 23s and under in the first team. We're getting rid of the rest of them. This is it for the next 5 years. This is what we're going with. I think England would do all right.
Definitely encouraging. And for Lewis Cook as well, got his move to the Premier League. Didn't really work out in his first season. He was in and out at Bournemouth on the bench. But this season, good pre-season there. And he's really starting to kick on and become a main man in that team.
He got gazumped, didn't he, by Jack Wilshere, really? Mm. He went in and then they brought him in. I think Lewis, with hindsight, and this is where the loan system's a farce, really. I think if they could have got him and lent him back out, they probably would have done last year to let him have some football. He's still only a kid. He's still learning. We forget that. You know, these lads have got to play football and they've got to learn and make the mistakes on the field. So I think the likes of Lewis Cook probably held back by the fact that because they got him in so late, they couldn't then get him back out again. And this year, I think he kicks on. And I think this is just... When the England manager's picking you, you know, even though, you know, you're not playing every single week, then that is a pretty big shot in the arm, and I'd expect he'd be kicking on from here. And I think it also gives Lewis a lot of power now at the club to say, look, I need to be playing, so come on, get me in the team. But he's doing all right, isn't he? Doing all right this year.
Doing very well. Of course, a bit of other Football League news for that England squad was Angus Gunn on loan from Manchester City to Norwich, getting some recognition, getting that call-up. That's a positive, especially when there are other good young English goalkeepers in the Premier League doing well. Nick Pope's gone in at Burnley, yeah, very, very well, and Angus Gunn getting the call.
Well, I'll tell you what, you mentioned Pope. What's going to happen at Burnley when Tom Eaton's fit? Because Nick Pope's done pretty well. I'm sure there's other Premier League clubs going, oh, we could do with someone like that. You know, it's going to be interesting, I think. We also, oh, Joe Hart, who's going to play instead of Joe? I think there's quite a lot of English goalkeepers. I think, you know, they're not saying much of a muchness in a bad way, but I think they're all of a decent enough standard. So we'll see, but I think for Gunn, it shows the value. He's out playing football at Norwich, proper football in the Championship. He's learning. He'll make his mistakes as he goes along, but it's brought him to the attention. There's a lesson there. It's all right playing at Man City, but you need to be playing football. He's playing, and look what happens.
Indeed. Called up to the England squad. One bit of news today regarding Yorkshire side, or just really heavily linked, Paul Heckingbottom over at Barnsley. I've been his agent on the Yorkshire Football
Show
for some time, touting him for every job. And it seems Sunderland have taken a bit of notice. The rumour is that a potential trebling his pay to go up to the North East and sort that mess out. Do you think he could be off?
I think if he don't go, he's bonkers. I know people say, oh, Sunderland, it's a doomed club. Look at it, you know, Moyes has been there, Grayson couldn't turn it round. I've got a theory about them. They've got a lot of big earners they need to get off the books. They need to get rid of the Premier League thing, because they're not a Premier League club anymore. They're just a run-of-the-mill Championship team. But I think if it can get to the end of this season and it'll free up some money, or it'll ease the burden on the chairman, I think there's more to go. You know, Grayson said, this is the biggest budget I've ever had in football. And he still hasn't quite been able to arrest the slide. But they do score lots of goals, Sunderland. They just concede too many. I don't think they're far away from turning. They've just got to stop the rot, stay in the Championship, build from there. Heckingbottom, for me, he's got to take the gig. He's got to. What they're going to do at Barnes, they'll just sell all his best players again in January. That's all they ever do. They just sell all the best players. I think he's got to go. I'd like to see his reasons for not going, to be honest.
There probably aren't many, other than that he's probably not going to get the sack at Barnsley, whatever happens. Obviously, a slight danger looking at what happened to Simon Grayson, and you could be out of a job quickly.
You say that, Sam. There were a lot of rumours earlier in the year when they went on a bit of a bad run that he had two games to save his job. So I won't be. There's talks of a takeover at Barnsley. Get out. There's no loyalty in managers now. You know, the only thing you can do as a manager is make sure you arrange a decent compensation clause if you get sacked.
Barnsley, though, they picked up a little bit. They're 16th at the minute. Back-to-back wins before the international break. You've said there that Barnsley sold all the best players, which they have done over the last 12 months. Heckingbottom continues to work miracles there with that squad, to have them 16th at this point of the season with what they've got. If he does go, do you fear for them?
I look at Barnsley. They play lovely. They're nice to watch. They're easy on the eye at Barnsley. You know, whenever you go watch them, you know you're going to get a decent game of football. I wonder if they might have to just change that philosophy in the short term. And I know the results have been good. Big wins over Birmingham and Barnsley at Birmingham and Burton, at the bottom of the table. But they're still in the mix, aren't they? You know, that's just keeping their head above water. It's going to be interesting. They've got some big games coming up. Norwich away will be a tough one. Norwich on a bad run. Then they've got Cardiff and Leeds at home. Reading, who've just found a bit of form away. And then they've got Bolton. So it's a big five games for them. If you're asking me where Barnsley, I think they'll be in the bottom six without fail, whether Heckingbottom stays or not. I just don't think they've got enough quality in that squad. He's doing well to get out of him what he's getting, in my opinion.
Mm. But without him, though, you're saying bottom six with him, without him?
I think they need a manager who's going to make them hard to beat and hope they can scrap their way out. You've got to ask the question, what is the ambition at Barnsley when they sell all the best players? What's the ambition? What are they trying to be? Are they just happy being in the Championship? Do they want to get to the top of the Championship? Well, if they do, they're going to have to spend some money, aren't they? And they're not doing that. Where's all that money gone, by the way, for all the players that they sold and saved? And, you know, they got money for John Stones, etc. Where's all that money gone? Why ain't that been spent?
Thrifty, aren't they, down in Barnsley?
Yeah.
So, it's a fair point. Elsewhere in the Championship, let's just run through some of the rest of our Yorkshire sides who will be back in action this weekend. We briefly touched on Sheffield Wednesday earlier. They've got the opportunity to get ahead of Leeds. They play on Saturday. A tough game, though. They are at Hillsborough, but against fourth place Bristol City, who are in fine form themselves, still very consistent this season. And that defeat against Leeds, one of only two for Bristol City this season. So a tough game at Hillsborough for Wednesday.
Bristol City were that bad that day, it was untrue. Even the local journals were sat there after 15 minutes going, what's going on here? This isn't what we used to. You know, they play some good football. I think they're a very streaky team. I think the manager, Johnson, is streaky. He'll win a lot, he'll lose a lot. But they are in good nick. This game generally features goals. The last three has been 14 goals in this fixture. Wednesday have actually got a decent record against Bristol City, but put it into context, Bristol City win, they're 10 points clear of Sheffield Wednesday. That is a heck of a gap. We're over a third of the way through the season. It's a big game for Wednesday, but they're just starting to hit a bit of form. But every time they've done that this season, Sam, go and shoot themselves in the foot. I think that must win for Wednesday this weekend.
Yeah, it's a fair point, and people are saying how close the Championship is. So, but as you say there, Bristol City win and some of those in the pack lose, that you can see from fourth upwards, a slight gap starting to open up from those top four sides, with Cardiff on 31 points, you know, the Blades on 33, and Wolves topping the table on 35. There potentially could be some daylight by Christmas in this division.
There could be, and that's the thing. I know, to put it in a context, right, if Bristol City were to win at the weekend, 17 games gone, they're 10 clear of Wednesday, so it's going to take at least four games, a Wednesday winning four, Bristol City losing four, to make up that gap. By the way, by then you're halfway through the season. That ain't going to happen. So they've got to make sure they cling on. But it's like we said about Leeds, you said about Sheffield Wednesday. Get a win this weekend, you're still only maybe 4 points off the playoffs. That, I think that's not the worst place to be. You don't want it turning into a double-digit lead, because that is going to be very difficult to peg back.
Yeah, very tough. Wednesday, didn't they kind of get the consistency under Carlos, or do you think they are going to continue to struggle? Haven't we both backed them at the start of the season for different reasons? I know you've got your big Sheffield Wednesday bet on.
I know.
I predict them to be second, I think, in the table on our FL72 predictions, but again, not quite working out so far.
Not yet. They're 11th in the table, right? I look at the teams above them. I don't think Cardiff will be above them end of the season. I don't think Bristol City will be. Derby, I'm not sure, will be. Ipswich certainly won't be. Nottingham Forest won't be. In my opinion, they'll make the top six.
Hopefully. Didn't they can have a squeak at the top two, or is that going to be beyond them now?
No, not at all. 10 points behind. You know, we've just said if they go 10 behind Bristol City, yeah, it'll be hard to claw back. But the facts are, if you're in the race, then all the teams around you are going to be losing points at some stage. It's when you're too far out of the race, you're relying on too many to lose. I think they'll force their way in. But as I've said before, every time they've looked like they're going to turn a corner, they're then put in a stupid result. They've done it too many times. They need not to do it on Saturday.
Mm. What about Leeds? Do you think they can force their way into the top six? Just looking at it and thinking which teams are actually going to drop out. I agree. I fancy Wednesday to climb up there. But Wolves, they look like they're not going anywhere. The Blades look like they're not going anywhere at the moment. Then you look at Cardiff, Bristol City, maybe. But then the likes of Birra, who've strengthened well in the summer. Villa as well, turned around under Steve Bruce, experienced manager. You got Derby in the mix. As well. It's tight.
I don't think Leeds will get in unless they spend a lot of money in January. I'm going to say it now. If they lose on Saturday, I think that's their hopes over, seriously, because I think once they get too far behind, I don't see them turning it round. But people say, oh, they're only 3 points behind the playoffs now. Yeah, they are, but you watch them play, they're a million miles off the playoffs at the minute. Something needs to change, whether that's belief, a style, not sure at the minute.
A couple more on Facebook. Philip's been in touch. He says, is Christiansen picking the team alone, or is there an outside influence such as Orta?
I think he picks the team himself. I ask you the question, Philip, does he rate his squad? I don't think he does. I think there's some players in there he's not having, clearly. And hence why they've paid money for Chybicki, he don't play.
Philip says he read an article in the paper the other day. It was a piece from Redders. I'll read it in the paper. Listen to it first.
Yeah, he's on here Wednesday night. I think Philip does listen, doesn't he, to be fair?
But he said Redders was spot on with what he said. Leeds face another wasted season if they don't sign players in January.
And just think, Gary Monk has gone and bought the players he wanted to buy. Now, I'd argue he's paid over the odds for some of them. You know, Ashley Taylor, Fletcher, whatever, 8 million, scored one goal. You think, what's he doing? But he's gone out and got the players. He will stand and fall by those decisions. Thomas Christensen is going to get the sack, probably, because he's relying on other people's players. It just doesn't work. You know, you look, Steve Bruce being told who he's bringing in at Aston Villa. No, he said, I want him, and him. There might be some he can't get, but they'll generally go get some that they do want. You tell me, Cardiff City, Neil Warnock's been told, oh, you've got to buy him. No, it doesn't happen. Chris Wilder, same again. He's not shopping at the top table. He's around the lower leagues saying, he'll fit in with us. He'll fit in with what we do. We'll have him. We'll take a chance on him. You know, it's just, the good teams in this division are teams that are built and built over time. And Leeds are just trying to do it too quickly. And the players, if you're going to be honest, barring size, they're not good enough.
Although you could say, with the exception of Wolves, but they're putting their money where their mouth is in terms of having somebody else do the recruitment.
Yeah, but they're paying big dollar, aren't they? There's a difference there that you've got a right to expect. If you're paying 10 million for a striker, you've got a right to expect him to score goals. If you're paying 1 million quid to a team in Holland for a guy that's played 30 games, it's a gamble. He could have come in and scored 20 goals, and he might still do. But at the minute, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And how many of these gambles have Leeds had that basically, you know, Chris Wood, 50. I keep going back to Chris Wood, 15 million. Knock off what you've paid for Chybicki because he's not done anything yet. Knock off what you've paid for Grock because he's not done anything yet. All of a sudden, you've got about 10 million quid for him, a guy that got you 30 goals. You've been better keeping him.
Philip made another point earlier on talking about Lasoga and said he can't play in the system up front on his own for him. I know a few people have said that and obviously questioned the quality of the others around. But what about Kemar Roofe? He said he wanted to play centre-forward. Obviously, he can play in a variety of positions. Do Leeds need to go two up top, have him there, give him a run of games in that position?
Possibly, because I think that might bring the best out of Lasogga as well. And Roof has been at his best when he's played in the centre. And I know he got his goals in the cup against League Two opposition, but he took those goals like a player that said, that doesn't matter who that was against, he would have scored. And I like him in the middle. He came on at Brentford, he changed the game for Leeds, and Christensen made the big mistake. Having got back in it, he then brought on Grott and put him back on the wing, and you think, what are you doing? Give him a go up top. I think Kemar Roof is a player, for one reason or another, it's not quite happening for him at Leeds. I think he's a good player. Give him a go. If it don't work for him, then you've judged him and you've given him that chance. At the minute, they're playing one up top, and neither Lasogga nor Roof. I don't think Roof, over a long period, is good enough to... He's not big enough to hold... You know, you put him up against two big centre-halves, he's not going to have a lot of joy. Getting the ball in the box, he'll score your goals. But Lasogga's sadly a bit like that as well. So, yeah, do they have to change? I think they have to. I think that might be his last roll of the dice, going two up top.
We'll see on Sunday live on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Redders and Stats. Join us from midday for that one with the old early kick-off.
Yeah, looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah, it's going to be a good... What kind of atmosphere, what kind of reception for Gary Monk?
Oh,
awful.
Vitriolic, yeah. Yeah, he'll get hammered. Yeah, so be it, he'll get hammered.
Does he deserve it for you, that reception?
In some ways, yes. As in, he did walk away, didn't he? And you wonder, did he know he was walking away before the end of the season? That again, these are things we never find out. The other thing is, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he speaks to Christensen and hear what they've got to say to each other, because I wonder if Christensen's living the life that Monk would have led if he'd have stayed. So can you blame Monk for leaving? No, not at all. But do you resent him for leaving as a fan? Of course you do. Yeah, you want him to stay with your club. I think a lot of the resentment from the fans is the fact that deep down, I think they thought he was doing a good job, and that's why they were disappointed that he went. But he saw what was coming, didn't he?
Indeed. So let's go back to Facebook. We'll have the 30-second coil in a few moments' time. Wayne Bardsley says, silly talk, lads. Not sure what bit he's referring to there. Probably just me in general.
Come on, Wayne, what are you about? Tell us.
6 minutes, but he says 1 point and 3 points, a lot of difference. 29 games to play. Anyone can beat anyone in this league. QPR beat Sheffield United and Wolves, say no more.
It's a fair point. But our Leeds going to win? Leeds needs 70 points to get in the playoffs. That's another 15 wins. Are they going to win 15 out of the next 30? Playing like they are at the minute. No, they're not.
Elsewhere, Macca says, should we make a lot of changes for Sunday?
What changes can he make? I don't think he thinks his squad's good enough. So I tell you who should play for me, Shocknessy. They got him for nothing, right? And he was a squad player. He's barely put a foot wrong for me. He's a good player. Get him in the team. Get him in. The big question he's got to answer, right? And he's got to come out and say, what does Alioski bring to the team in terms of goals? I know he scored at Brentford, but yeah, he took it well, fair play. Don't offer enough for me end product-wise. And I saw Sayers were getting a bit angry with him the other day. They just need more. I would change the formation before I necessarily change the entire personnel.
We'll get stuck into more Leeds chat very, very shortly. But first, let's have a bit of 30-second coil. Owen Coyle Live Stories is, of course, now up in Scotland with Ross County, enjoying himself. Just taking Chris Eagles on trial today.
Oh, there's a surprise.
linking up there with his former man. How many clubs has he played for, Owen Coyle? At Blackpool, Burnley, Bolton as well?
Played at Bolton, yeah.
Wasn't at Blackburn. Did he go to Blackburn?
I don't know. He was linked with Blackburn. Not where he went or not.
But Chris Eagles up there in Scotland, and now we are looking back at the life of Owen Coyle. He's still alive, even though he's working up in Scotland. On this week's episode, he talks about his influences outside of football and how he's a great understanding with the common working man. Thanks, Tom.
So, outside of football, in regards to that, I think I know how hard it is to do that new job of work. So I've recognised that we're very lucky to have had a career in football. And but you know, there's many things that when you look outside football that I think can help you within football. And in terms of, you know, we do media stuff, so having social skills, understanding, you know, being a people person, hopefully, and understanding what's required of that. But of course, I think family influence to help you football is huge.
There we go. Everything can help you in football. Family, friends, having a proper job.
Being good at your job, Owen. Practising defending. You know, the word was that when he was at Bolton on a Friday, they didn't do any set-piece practice or anything.
Tennis.
Yeah, they were playing table tennis and eating donuts and scones on a Friday, cream cakes and table tennis. Seriously, that is what they used to do. And then you wonder why they got relegated.
Worked at Burnley, got promoted to the Premier League doing that.
Yeah. Owen Coyle's career, I said this last week, Owen Coyle's career as a manager, as a good manager, ended when Johnny Evans broke Stuart Holden's leg at Old Trafford. Bolton was six at the time, and Holden was, in my opinion, one of the best players in the Premier League at that time, form-wise. He broke, Johnny Evans butchered him. It was a horrendous tackle. And from that moment, Owen Coyle's managerial career has gone downhill quicker than one of them skiers. Honestly, it has. You look at that moment. He's never, because he had to come up with a plan B and he didn't have one. Didn't have one. Rubbish.
There we go. Mark Coyle. We'll have another Life Stories next week. Not that Mark will be listening.
I'll be listening.
We'll have Crawley Town Watch. Mark has been discovering what's actually good about Crawley Town, and we'll do good days as bad days as well before 7 o'clock on the evening show with Tom Maguire. A few people now starting to get stuck in on this Leeds United stuff. Philip says, if you say that Christensen picks the team himself and he keeps playing Grott as sub with so many dismal performances, then I'm afraid he's lost the plot.
Well, that's a good point, and I wondered when you made the point, is that the one you was going at? I just mentioned there before, didn't I, when he brought Roof on, and you think, great substitution. It's him and Hernandez turn the game. Leeds look like they're going to win it. Then he brings Grott on. It's like his substitutes are planned before they go, right, we'll bring him on then. Same players come on all the time, and Hernandez generally comes on, Grott comes on. He's putting Grott on for me. If he'd have put Grott on the left at Brentford, I think they'd have won the game, because I think Kemar Roofe would have created something up top. So that's the criticism of Christensen. I think he gets his subs wrong, and that's an area that has to go down to the manager. But I do, if you ask me, does he pick the team, I genuinely think he does, yeah.
Philip also says he thinks Christensen on Sunday should just go out and play the players he himself believes are good enough. Why not bring in Ekuban?
If he's fit, possible. Obviously, he's been out. He broke his foot, didn't he, at Sunderland. You go back, right, I mentioned this at Lourdes. I'll mention it tomorrow on the Yorkshire Football Show. Are Leeds any better now than they were when they had Dakara? Would Dakara do a better job off the bench than some of the players they've got? Yes, and that comes out of your recruiter. He feels happy. Yeah, get rid of him, you know. Why? Keep him. We ain't got anything better. Keep him. Sell him in January. Why are they so desperate to sell him? Just a point. Ekuban, if he's fit, might play. But I'd give Roof a go before Ekuban. I think he's more proven.
Yeah, it is a good point. And I said this last week on the Yorkshire Football Show, in that Leeds brought in 15 players this summer, or 13 players, didn't they? And they brought 15 in under the first season under Chiellino. And then it took three seasons to kind of filter out the rubbish, which there was quite a bit, you know, the likes of Bianchi, etc., all the players that Leeds eventually got rid of. And you were left at the end with a couple of decent ones, not necessarily starters every week, but obviously Berardi being the best. Silvestri did okay for Leeds in goal. Dakara was solid enough when required. And you kind of get that feeling from this bunch of players that a lot of them over the next 2-3 years are going to fall by the wayside. And at the start of the talk we had tonight, you said Sai is probably the one, maybe a couple of more you can argue that are going to last the distance, but there doesn't seem to be many that Thomas Christensen can hang his hat on.
No, I think that's the problem. I think that is absolutely, you know, the problem. I'm looking down the list. Wiedwald, would you be, if he said he was going, would you be bothered? No, not really. Pennington, he's all right. Is he any better than Conor Shotness, who they got for free? No, I don't think he is. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, the way he played at Burnley, he's lucky he even got another chance to play for Leeds again. But, you know, similar the reports at Wolves from people we spoke to around the Wolves thing. Threw the toys out of the pram, down tools, everyone will look at it. Never got back in the team. Same thing's happened at Leeds. You know, Vernon Anita's played well, out of position. Maybe play him in midfield, that might be something they could do. Cleek, is he? No, he's not. You know, a Polish international player. He played well at Burnley. We hardly ever seen him again. Magda Gomez did all right in the cup games. Not come in and played in the first team. For me, Alioski, if the wind changes direction, he'd fall over. I think that's becoming a big issue for him. And he's got the skill, needs to stay on his feet more. They signed Adisako. What did they pay for him? £3 million or something? He's not good enough. He is not good enough. That's why he doesn't play. You know, Lasoga, all right, he'll get you some goals. Jeroy Grott, at the moment, not good enough. Pavel Chybicki, clearly not good enough. Caleb Ekiban did all right when we saw him. Limited time he's had. Jury's out on him. Let's see if we can get, at least can get him fit and see if they're better. There's not a lot there. You're going, yeah, he's got to play. He's got to play. It's almost like, what do I do? He's got about six players all play the same and none of them are any good.
We mentioned Roof. Another player that people are saying has to now come in is Stuart Dallas. Why do you think he is not getting the game time?
I have no idea at all. I last year, mate, wasn't a big... I thought Dallas was playing the easy way out, as in he'd go down the wing and all the time he'd roll it back to his fullback to cross it in, right? Dallas has created some great goals for Leeds when he's been steaming down the byline. His only option is to cross it. Puts in a peach of a ball. Saw him score great goals at Birmingham, got a double there a year or so back. He's got it in the locker. We didn't see enough of it. He's played this year. He's more attack-minded. He gets the job done. But what I like about Dallas is he'll give you a shift up and down, up and down. If he can just add the goals and the signs were, you just scored two goals earlier in the season. Played well the other week. I forget who... Was it against Derby? Played at left back. Played all right. Don't get in the team at the weekend. It's like, where's the consistency? So for me, yes, Dallas plays every week. He's better. Even if you play him on the left, he's better than the likes of Hadisako, Jeroy Grott. For me, he's better than Alioski. You've got to put him in the team. That's my opinion.
Johnny makes the point. Said he had a good game for Northern Ireland against Switzerland, asking if it is time for him to start Leeds. But he also says, does the Northern Ireland system suit him better than the Leeds one? Or is that not the problem for you? It's just getting the opportunity.
He's given a job. He knows his job for Northern Ireland. I'm not sure he's always known what his job is at Leeds. You know, there's been that many different tactics. I think as a manager, you know, when you're under the pump and you're going into a game and you're thinking, tonight I need everyone to put it in for me, I don't think you'd have too many occasions where they come off the field, you'd be looking around the dressing room and you go, he's let me down tonight. I don't think you get that with him. I think Redders said the other day, he's a 6 or an 8. He's not a 2 or a 10. He's a 6 or an 8 or a 7. He's steady, solid. He's what Leeds need at the minute. He knows the championship. He knows what his job is. Get him in the team and let him do it.
Stuart Dallas then, one for Mark. Philip says, why not try 3 at the back? He says Shaughnessy, Janssen, Ayling would be his 3. Alioski, Dallas as wing-backs.
I think you'd probably have to play Cooper as a left-footed defender if you're going to go 3 at the back. I think it'd be Cooper, Janssen, and I would play Shaughnessy because I think he's very good on the ball. So that'd be 3. Problem is, who do you play at left-back? Because as good as Berardi is, he's not a natural out-and-out left-footed crosser of the ball. Although he did put a couple of good crosses in the other week. But I think that's a problem. I think Borthwick-Jackson would offer you more going forward. I think, Berardi, everyone likes him. They know what he's all about. But Leeds need a little bit of something more at the moment.
Pete says, we've lost the spine of the team, Green, Bartley, Woods, and unfortunately haven't replaced with the same quality. Whoever plays in central defence, whichever two, it doesn't work. Need a central defender and a striker in the window. Is that part of the problem, the fact that it's not been settled? Last year you knew it was going to be, unless there was a problem, Bartley, Janssen.
Well, Janssen's been suspended, Cooper's been suspended, Pennington's been injured, Shaughnessy got left out, not sure why. So at some stage he's been without all four of his defenders. That hasn't helped. But I think the problem's further up the field. There's too many, they're carrying too many in midfield. No surprise, when he went 3 in midfield, all of a sudden they looked a little bit more organised, Leeds. I think they need and then it comes, you know, you play Dallas up front, you're getting a bit more defensive cover, and then your defenders haven't got as much defending to do. I think Leeds need to look at differently how they play, and I think at the minute the system is the problem.
Maka says, Dallas got a start Sunday, guys. Could that be tapping into for Dallas as well? We mentioned it before about Pontus Janssen buzzing that Sweden have got to the World Cup. Stuart Dallas will be hurting that Northern Ireland haven't.
Yeah, he'll be down, but the best way to get back. You exactly. know, the thing that we spoke to Stuart Dallas earlier in the year, he said, I want to play every game. I don't want to be sat on the bench. Get him in the team.
Philip says he genuinely can't believe Leeds have signed so many players and changed the squad so much from last year. Last year, we were not a million miles away. Put it this way, we held on away at Fulham and Villa, away we would be in the playoffs. Why sign 16 players?
Correct.
There we go. We shall do Crawley Town Watch, because Mark's found some fascinating facts about Crawley Town. They're not as bad as Tom Carnduff makes out, apparently. Let's just run through a couple of other bits. We've talked about Paul Heckingbottom linked with Sunderland. Bury set to appoint Ryan Lowe as their manager. Gillingham, Steve Lovell as well. Looks like he's getting the job there. And Mark McGee in at Barnet as well. Obviously, Scotland assistant left there a few weeks ago. What do you make of that?
Interesting one, that one. You know, he's had some success, hasn't he? I seem to recall a little bit a long time ago. But I think he'll do all right, McGee. I think you'll get a run out of your money for him. I'm not sure him as a media personality is all that great, but Barnet aren't bothered about that, are they? Steve Lovell, I had to Google him. I forgot who he was, but of course, former Palace and Millwall player. Played for Wales as well, Steve Lovell. But his managerial experience, Sittingbourne, Hastings, Gravesend and Northleigh and Bromley. So managerial-wise, it's a bit of a step up, isn't it? Interesting how he gets on, Steve Lovell at Gillingham.
Yeah, big test. And at Bury as well, at Ryan Law now the favourite there, but they've had a few names linked with that job as well.
Well, they're another one. They've gone out and signed all these players. It's just too many. Too many. I'm going to say it now, right? They signed Lee Clark as a manager. He ain't no good. He had that 362 unbeaten game run at Huddersfield, apart from when they lost in the Cup and in the playoffs and whatever. Just that was all about him. And you know that unbeaten run? It ended up with them not getting promoted, so it was actually a waste of time. Might as well have lost six times and won six more games.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
That's what I thought he was trying to do at Bury. If he fields a new team every week, then they're just unbeaten. You're starting to sound like Tom Mark, so let's do this.
Oh, come on.
Happy. Didn't actually want to do that.
Does that
mean you're having a bad day or not? Yes. Obviously the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with three defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. But Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
We got there in the end. Yes, it is Crawley Town Watch. Just a little bit trigger happy there on the old computer, double clicking the mouse a bit too fast. Mark, you have been doing your Crawley Town research. Tom obviously invented this feature because of his dislike for Harry Kewell.
Yeah.
But it seems things aren't that bad.
No, oh, is your glass half full or is it half empty? Look, they've lost two of their last six games, but they don't score any goals. That's a problem. They've not won in six games. They're the lowest scorers in League Two. They've scored two goals in the last six games, but they've got the fourth best defence, so he's got that side of it right. He just needs someone to stick the ball in the back of the net. I think the one good thing for Harry Kewell is they've had wins against the teams around them at the bottom end of the table. It's just keeping their head above water. And I have to say, I look out for Crawley's result now. because I don't want him to get the sack, because Tom would be mortified if they did. But they've got a tough run of games coming up. They've got Wickham this weekend. Then they've got Exeter at home, Coventry away, and Mansfield at home. They've only won at home once this season. Needs to sort that out, or he will be going down the road.
There we go, Mark. Thank you very much. Thank you. Will survive Harry Kewell?
No, they need goals. Honestly, they last scored 2 goals in a game back in September. That tells you everything you need to know.
We'll see what Tom comes up with next week, or maybe he'll get the sack this weekend and Harry Kewell will be gone and Tom will cry. Never mind, eh, Tom? I never know how to end that, Ben, because it just, we never have any ad breaks.
No.
So it just ends.
Yeah.
No, there we go.
Never
mind.
Let's
check in on Facebook. Not too much going on now. People still saying Stuart Dallas. I think that's the main thing that's come out of tonight, that he needs to start for Leeds. Let's have a look at Hull City, we've not talked about yet. Run of 3 defeats before the international break. Squad numbers, quality catching up with them, do you think?
Yeah, I know you're not. I actually thought they would do all right in the end, but I'm starting to worry. They just concede, don't they? Too many goals, and we all know you concede goals, you're not winning enough games, and I think it's becoming a problem for Mr. Slutsky. I think the other day I said, oh, yeah, you could understand why they'd sack him. I probably wouldn't say that if I were the manager. No, no. I think that's a bit similar to Sunderland. It's not right off the field, then it's never going to be right on the field. Need to sort that out first.
Then they could go down. Do you think both could go down, Sunderland and Hull?
I don't think Sunderland will go down. I'm not saying they can't. I personally don't think they will. Hull, meanwhile, I thought they'd turn it around, but you know, 3 successive defeats, 4 points above the bottom.
It's Ipswich on Saturday. It's a home game. But
I'm saying Hull could go. If you give me the choice of 2, Hull or Sunderland, I'd take Hull to go down. I think Sunderland will get out because I think they score enough goals. Although I say that, Hull have actually scored more than Sunderland, but anyway.
Yeah, they've had a couple of high-scoring games, haven't they, Hull? I mean, if you averaged it out.
Yeah. I just think there's something rotten at the football club. And I think that's a big issue. You know, I think, if I remember right, Hull have scored in something like the last 10 games. Yeah, they have. But they've only won 2 of them. That tells you everything.
Big problems for Hull. We'll drop down into League One. Bradford, you saw them at the weekend. Defeat to Plymouth.
Unlucky. Yeah, should have got at least a draw. You know, Plymouth had one meaningful effort on goal. It went in. Bradford had... must have put 20 balls into the box. They've got 2 big centre-halves and they're just lumping balls in the box, but quality lacking for Bradford. McMahon missed a penalty at the end, disappointment for him. Bradford at least should have got a draw. I don't think they're as bad as the results are making out, but the trouble is they've got some big games. They've got Wigan and Shrewsbury coming up very shortly. They need to find some wins quickly.
Yeah, tough. Rotherham, they've only got 2 points in their last 12, but they are in the playoff places now after that draw with Donny last weekend. It's Shrewsbury next, though. That's a tough game, big test.
It is. 18 out of 24 points Rotherham have got at home, though, and Shrewsbury have conceded in the last 7 away games. I'm not convinced Shrewsbury are going to last the distance. I think Rotherham will beat them on the weekend.
And what about Donny? 7 points from a possible 12. They're looking better than they were a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, daft as it sounds, when they were getting beat in the cup, they were 2-0 down, weren't they, away from home to a non-league team, and they turned it around and won 6-2. I think that probably tells us a little bit more about them than, you know, I've questioned their mentality, but I think there's a bit of something out about them maybe now, and I think they might kick on. I think they'll be all right, Donny.
Let's hope so. In fact, we've just got enough time left to do this. Yes, you're not hearing things. It's not deja vu. Well, it is. We've already played it once. But it's actually time to do good days, bad days. And we've got a slight twist this week because I'm not going to make Mark read as fast as I make Tom read at the end of the show. I've switched it up. I'm going to ask you, Mark, who you think will have a good week, bad week from the upcoming fixtures. I picked a few select ones out. And here we go. We'll kick off with Reading against Wolves.
What did you give me this game for? Wolves top of the table. Obviously, I think there'll be plenty of goals. Reading all of a sudden have started scoring goals. I'm going to go for a draw in that one. I think honours even.
Honours even for that one. Leeds United against Middlesbrough.
Bad day, Thomas Christiansen. Good day, Gary Monk. I think Borough win.
Sheffield Wednesday against Bristol City.
I'm going good day, Carlos Carvalhal, and if they lose, I'm going to find him and get that £20 note he screwed up and demand he gives me it back, because that's what I'll put on him to win the league, £20. So he better produce the goods on Saturday.
He owes you big time. Sunderland against Millwall.
Sunderland, good day. Not one at home in 20 games at the Stadium of Light. Paul Heckingbottom's going to take the job. He's going to work the Oracle. Millwall, not one away from home in the league this season. Sunderland are going to win at home. Good day, Sunderland.
Final one before we go. Bradford City, they're away at Wigan.
Wigan, one loss in 11 games, have kept six successive clean sheets at home. Bradford, great away from home. They're going to lose. Stuart McCall, bad day.
Ooh, a bad day for Bradford. That's all we've got time for on the FL 72. Thanks for listening. Tom Maguire is next with the evening show after the news at 7 o'clock.